Well, hey, it is just a great weekend to be at CCV. Tons of stuff going on for our kids and our students this weekend. And I just want to give a special shout out. Maybe some of you are here and your first experience at CCV was actually Easter at the stadium. And it's just our honor that you would come back and be with us. Some of you are just back and you haven't been back in a long, long time. So just want to welcome everyone here and hope that you're just able to connect with us, not only this weekend, but in the weekends to come. This weekend, we're in week two of a series called Detox. Okay, and the whole premise or idea behind this series is this, is that we understand in our world that there are things, there are toxins or pollutants out there all around us that can kind of affect our bodies. And that's why people go on detoxes all the time. Some of you have gone on a detox. But what about our souls? I mean, aren't our souls something we should pay really close attention to? And here's why, because the Bible teaches us that we are simply not a body that happens to have a soul, right? We are actually a soul that has a very temporary body, and our soul is what lives on for eternity. And that's why the Bible says that when we get to heaven, we actually get a new body because this one's gone. And the older I get, the more I like appreciate that promise, right? And some of you today are like, I need it like right now. Like today I need a new body. But the point is that we've got to pay attention to our souls because there's things and toxins that can just get deep down inside of us that can just destroy us, and not just us, but those around us. And so today, I want to look at a very specific thing, and it's a sneaky one that can just get deep down inside of you. And I'm telling you, this one causes so much damage in our lives. I want to talk to you today about the toxic habit we have of comparison. Now, the Bible talks about this word in terms of jealousy or envy or even sometimes coveting, but just kind of for a working definition for us today, comparison is this. Comparison is when you and I look to our right or look to our left at other people around us, how they live, what they have, what they're doing, what they look like, and we use that as a measure for if we're okay. And I'm telling you, this thing is toxic. I mean, even the great philosopher Socrates, which if you're not even a follower of Jesus, most people believe that Socrates didn't even believe in one true God. He even said this about it. He said, envy is the filthy slime of the soul, venom, a poison which consumes the flesh and dries up the bones. It rots us like cancer from the inside. I mean, something we've got to figure out how to detox. And honestly, the more I've looked at this issue in my own life, the more I've realized what a struggle this is for me personally. And you kind of get to the point where you just think, like, do I ever get over this? And then I start talking to other people and I realize, well, I'm not the only one. I mean, I start talking to others and they're going, yeah, I struggle with the same thing. I always struggle with comparing myself to others. And as I talked to them, I started feeling better about myself. I'm like, so let me get this straight. The more I compare my tendency to compare myself to others, to other people's comparison, to compare themselves to others, the better I feel in comparison. Which is like, that's the problem, isn't it? And this thing's just kind of ingrained in us at an early age, isn't it? I mean, if for those of you that are parents, you get this, okay? If you're parents, something like this has happened to you at some point. Let's say it's a hot summer day, it's 110 degrees outside, and your son's playing in the backyard, and you call him inside because you're a great parent. You go to the freezer, and you pull out a half gallon of Dreyer's cookies and cream ice cream. This is his favorite ice cream, and his eyes get wide. And so you get out a bowl, okay, and it wouldn't be this big. This is how we roll in the Woldridge household, okay, bowls like this. But you pull out a bowl, and you take a huge scoop of ice cream, and you put it in the bowl, and you hand it to him. And I'm telling you, everything is perfect in the world at this point. I mean, all the stars have aligned, and he runs off to go play, and everything's perfect. And 10 minutes later, all of a sudden, you hear bickering in the backyard, and you run in the backyard, and you're like, what is going on? And your older son looks at you, and his younger sibling's standing right next to him with another bowl, and he has two scoops of ice cream in his bowl, right? And what does he say? That's not fair. It's not fair. And all of a sudden, the most content child in the world turns into the son of Lucifer himself, right? I mean, like World War III breaks out. But don't miss the point. Now listen carefully. the issue had nothing to do with what was in your son's bowl. The issue had every single thing to do with what was in his brother's bowl. Wasn't it? And I, for one, am just so, so glad that when we exit childhood and become adults, we just don't have to deal with this anymore. Aren't you? I will never forget when Jamie and I bought our first house. And man, I'm telling you, we were so happy. We were so excited because we no longer had to live in a dorm room or an apartment anymore. And we could not believe that we got to say, this is our house. I mean, it was perfect. Sure, the countertops were blue and the carpet throughout the whole house was blue from the woman we bought it from. But it didn't matter. I mean, it was amazing to us. And we had this conversation with ourselves. I think this might be the house that we'll have for the rest of our lives. We'll never move out of this house. Have you ever had that conversation? I mean, we dreamed about where our kids were going to play and all the memories we were going to make. But it doesn't take long, does it? I remember we went over to some friend's house and had dinner with them, and we walked away, and we were kind of looking to our left and looking to our right at what they had, and all of a sudden, our perfect home didn't seem so perfect anymore. And I'm telling you, the more you start to dig into this disease called comparison, the more you realize this, that awareness is the fuel that ignites comparison. Isn't it? When we become so aware of what others have around us, it fuels this thing called comparison in our lives. Now, if you lived on a farm in the middle of nowhere, and you drove into town once a month for milk and eggs, and you had no internet, you might not struggle with this, right? But that's not the land you live in, nor do I. Don't you kind of wish sometimes you just didn't even know what other people had? In 1990, a Harvard conducted what I think is just an interesting survey. I'll summarize it for you. They basically asked people this. They said, all things being equal, would you rather earn $50,000 or $100,000? Now, this is not a trick question, okay, because I'm going to ask you to raise your hand. How many of you would rather earn $100,000 versus $50,000? You think it's a trick question. It's not a trick question. I mean, it's easy. Unless you failed kindergarten math or you never got over that a nickel, just because it's bigger, is less than a dime. Like, this works, right? But then Harvard in this study added such an interesting caveat. They said this. All things being equal, in other words, in either scenario, your pricing power stays the same, okay? You can purchasing power stays the same. Would you rather make $50,000 and others earn $25,000? Or would you rather earn $100,000 and others earn $200,000? Makes you pause, doesn't it? And do you know what the majority of people chose? They chose to make $50,000 and everyone else around them make $25,000. In other words, let me summarize this. You choose incorrectly just because you want others around you to look less than you. I mean, does that not like summarize the problem we're dealing with? Okay, you're not convinced. Let me show you one more. I'm gonna show you a graph of average home sizes over time. Okay, starting in 1950. So in 1950, if you owned, the average home size was 983 square feet, which means there were couples in 1950 that went to go buy a new home that was 1,000 square feet, and they were like high-fiving each other and like hugging each other going, this is amazing. And if you lived in a 1,500 square foot house in 1950, you probably lived in like a mansion. But look what happens over time. 1970, it goes up to 1,500 square feet. 80 got bigger, 1990 goes up to 2,080 square feet, all the way up to where we're at around today, which is around 2,400 square feet. But come on, surely this graph has an explanation, right? A logical explanation. I mean, our families have gotten bigger over time, so we've just needed more home sizes because we have more kids and bigger families, right? You know the answer. It's the exact opposite. Our families have shrunk significantly over the same time. So what has caused this hockey stick graph up and to the right? Comparison and comparison alone. No wonder we're so exhausted. I mean, you kind of look at this and you go, Like, where does this end? Does this hockey stick ever end somewhere? I mean, we work longer hours to buy the bigger house, but then we get the bigger house and it takes longer hours to take care of it, which is why we work the longer hours in the first place. But listen carefully, this is not about stuff. This is not about salary and about stuff. Comparison's a lot deeper than that. As a matter of fact, I heard a pastor once refer to comparison as living in the land of Ur. I just want a little bit more Ur than you. Okay, here's what it looks like. I just want to be skinnier, funnier, smarter, prettier, happier, hipper, and more talenteder than you. I mean, I like you and everything. I do. I just want to walk away from coffee or lunch or a conversation with you, and I want to go, yeah, they're good, but I'm right? I'm I just want a little bit more than you. And why do we want more Because when we have more it makes us feel better about ourselves. But this rabbit hole just keeps getting deeper and deeper, I'm telling you, because then you get married, and all of a sudden you start erring your spouse, right? And you start saying, I wish she were just a little bit richer. I wish she was a little bit skinnier. Or I wish she earned just a little bit more. And we lie to ourselves. We tell ourselves, well, that's just because I want them to reach their full potential. But all the while, you know what it was? We're comparing how we look, how people view our spouse, and how that reflects on us. And then it gets worse. You have kids. And all of a sudden, you start erring your kids. And you start comparing your kids and what other kids are doing around your kids. And they got into that school, and they got that scholarship, and they're playing up on that team, and their reading level's higher than that. And you start saying, whoa. And you start comparing your kids, and you start just erring your kids. And we lie to ourselves. We say, no. I just want my child to, like, be the best they can be and live up to their potential. But if we're really honest, so much of that is us comparing our parenting style to the parents around us and how we're doing as parents. And we just lie to ourselves. And we'd never admit this. You wouldn't. But then we can get even celebrate and get a little happy deep down inside when our kids' friends mess up a little bit, can't we? I mean, when they get in trouble or they don't get on that team or they didn't make that grade or they didn't get into that school. Now, you'd never say that because you're Christian, right? But here's what we do. We say something like this. Oh, I'm so sorry. I mean, what is that? That's embarrassing. It's like evil. And if you ever wonder if there was evil in the world, just listen to the little conversations you have deep down inside of yourself. I mean, we know it's wrong. But then the other side of the spectrum is this. We know we compare to others, but then some of us, well, we just have a little more, right? We have a little more And then what we start doing is we start comparing ourselves to people that have a little less, right? And we start saying, well, she's a little heavier, and they're a little poorer, and she's a little nerdier, right? And here's the thing about comparison. It doesn't matter which way you look. To the right, it's evil. To the left, it's evil because this makes us feel superior and puffed up. And no matter which way you look, nothing good happens. Now, I probably don't have to convince you of how bad this is, but if anything, I just want us today to get honest about how this thing affects us into our souls. I think that's why Joseph Epstein said this. He said, of all the seven deadly sins, envy is the only one that's no fun at all. It's not. And here's one of the keys, okay? Here's one of the keys. If I could just get you to let this sink down in your heart, if you could post this somewhere, if you could put this on your phone and just let it remind you over and over again, don't miss this, okay? Here it is. Comparison is a never-ending no-win game. It is never-ending and no one wins. I'm about as competitive as a guy as you will ever meet. You ask my wife. And I like to know, did I win or did I lose? And I'm telling you, when you play the game of comparison, it never ends, and always you lose, and everyone around you loses as well. And this thing is so dangerous, I'm telling you. Some of you, if you got really, really honest today, you are in debt up to your eyeballs because you bought something, you're wearing something, or you went on that vacation because you saw other people around you doing it. Some people are you're driving your spouse or your kids crazy because you're comparing them. Some of you have a major conflict with a relative right now, and it's all about comparison because he has that, or he looks like that, or he drives that. So the million-dollar question is this. What do we do? I mean, what do we do with this thing, comparison, that can just get into our hearts and cause it to be so black and deep down inside where there's no win in any of that? And what I want to do today then is I just want to open up scripture and I want to look at some things that we can do to just detox our soul from comparison. And I'm telling you, the more you look at scripture, it is so rich on this topic. And I want to look at one thing in the book of Ecclesiastes that's going to help us all out today. And the reason Ecclesiastes is because of this. Because Ecclesiastes was written by King Solomon. And if you want to turn there, it's right kind of in the middle of your Bible, a little bit to the right of Proverbs. So if you got a cell phone or iPad or however you look up in your Bible, if not, we got this, they're going to be on the screens. But Ecclesiastes is written by King Solomon. And King Solomon accomplished more than you'll ever accomplish. He was richer than you will ever be. His wives were prettier than your wife will ever be. It says kings and queens came from all over to just sit at his feet and get wisdom from him. The Bible says King Solomon was the wisest man who's ever lived. And 3,000 years ago when this was written, he gives us some amazing advice that I think we can all apply to our lives. So Ecclesiastes chapter 4, starting in verse 4, says this. And I saw that all toil. How much? All. Toil? What does that mean? Toil is all misery, all the trouble, all the anguish that happens in your life. Solomon says, all toil stems from what? An achievement stems from one person's envy of another. The wisest man on earth said, hey, I've been watching people. I'm a student of people, and I've been watching people. And you know what causes all the misery, so many of the issues in our life? It's when we look around to our left and to our right, and we compare ourselves to others. And then he goes on. He says, this too is meaningless, a chasing after the wind. Hey, Solomon, you know you can't chase the wind, right? That's impossible. Solomon's like, exactly. You know what you get when you chase the wind? You get winded. And Solomon's saying, comparison is a never-ending, no-win game. To which some of you men right now are thinking this. So what are we supposed to just sit back and like do nothing, like never get better, like no progress, no ambition? Are we supposed to just like sit back and like fold our hands and do nothing? Solomon, being the wisest man in the world, he already knows what you're thinking. So he goes on in verse 5 and says this. Fools fold their hands and ruin themselves. I mean, this is Solomon. He built the temple. This is Solomon. He has more money in the bank than Apple right now. This was Solomon. He had 700 wives and 300 concubines. He was a busy guy, okay? So he's saying, yeah, there's a time and a place for progress and for ambition. But listen to Solomon's advice to us. This is so good. Listen to this. He says, better one handful with tranquility than two handfuls with toil and chasing after the wind. And the Hebrew imagery here is so rich. Don't miss this. Here's what Solomon's saying. It's better to have one handful and have an open hand where God can put in or take out whatever he wants in this. It's better to have that than to do this, than to get two fistfuls and just chase after everything you see around you. This is so much better. So the question is, how do we do that? I mean, what do we do? Because Solomon wrote this 3,000 years ago, and you know what Solomon didn't have that we have? Social media. You ever see someone snap a picture and say, selfie, taking out the trash? No. I mean, you compare on social media all the time with other people. And so we know that this issue, Solomon's saying, how do we move from to this? And I want to suggest to you two things today based on scripture that I think can help detox comparison from your life. Here's number one. The first thing that we have to do to detox comparison is you have to appreciate and leverage what God has placed in your bowl. I think the very first thing we have to do if we really want to detox this thing from our life is we have to look at what God's given us in our bowl and appreciate it and be thankful for God for it. Has it ever occurred to you that there are 7 billion people on the planet right now and every single one of them has a different bowl that God's given them with different things inside? I mean, think about how creative and unique our God is to do that. But you know what the issue is for so many of us? It's not just that we don't appreciate what God's put in our bowl. It's that we actually think maybe God messed up with what he put in our bowl. We actually think God owes us because we look at what other people have and he didn't put that in our bowl. And it messes with us. And if you're not careful, I promise you, you can spend your whole life wasting it looking at what others have versus appreciating what God's already placed in your bowl. But you're not sure. You're not sure you can trust that what God placed in your bowl is good, that he had a reason for placing in your bowl. I'm telling you, we don't have time to unpack it today, but in Matthew chapter 25, there is a parable that you should go read this week, and it's the parable of the talents, and Jesus told it, and here's what Jesus said. He said there's three men, and there's talents given to each of them differently. One person got one bag of talent. The second person got two bags of talent, and the third person got five bags of talent. God divvies up things differently to different people, and the whole point of that parable Jesus was trying to tell us was, it doesn't matter what I gave you. Stop looking at everybody else. I want you to leverage what I've put in your bowl for my kingdom. But you look at God and you're like, I don't know, God. I don't know if I can trust how smart you made me. Is that really what you meant? I mean, my earning power and how talented I am and what I look like and my wife and my kids. And I think God might want to whisper to you today, stop looking around. Or he might want to shout at you, stop looking around. Stop looking around at other people and just appreciate what I've given to you. Here's a verse I think so many of us need to hear today. It says this. It's King David talking about how God made us. He says this in Psalm 39, For you formed my inward parts. You knitted me together in my mother's womb. I praise you, for I am fearfully and wonderfully made. Your works are wonderful. I know that full well. Did you know that you are fearfully and wonderfully made, and God did not make a mistake with that at all? The previous CEO of Microsoft, he said this. He said, don't compare yourself with anyone in this world. If you do, you're insulting yourself. And I think he got it half right. You are insulting yourself, but you know who you're really insulting? You're insulting God, who created you just the way he wanted to. The only person you should try to be better than is the person you were yesterday. And let God be the measure of that. So let me ask you some questions to see how you're doing on this, okay? These are kind of my rile you up questions. Some of these are going to make you mad. They've made me mad as I'm doing it this week. Are you allowing others and what they have to keep you from enjoying what you have? I mean, you have a house that has 9-foot ceilings and your friends have 10-foot ceilings, and so you all of a sudden hate your house. I mean, you walk into your house and you feel like you have to duck because you have 9-foot ceilings. And the issue isn't your house at all. The issue is that you compare, and where does it ever end? I mean, you got 10, others have 12, and you might be even missing out on using your house to invest in other people and having them over, all because you're comparing to others. Are you missing out on just enjoying what God's already given you? How about this? Does someone in your life, girlfriend, wife, husband, feel like a failure because you're continually comparing them to others? Now, you're smart. You don't say, hey, honey, sure would be nice to have more money like he has, or hey, honey, she's a lot skinnier and she cleans the house all the time. Could you do that? I mean, you're smarter than that, right? But in our mind, we're just constantly comparing, maybe even the ones we love the most, to others around us. And if you're not careful, it's undermining the most important relationship that you have here on earth, your marriage. How about this? Do you actually enjoy your kids? I mean, do you appreciate your kids, or are you just constantly comparing them to the achievements of others? I mean, you're just pushing your kids, and it's not about them. It's all about you. Did you know there are people that would love to have your kids because they can't have kids of their own? You're like, I've never thought of that. You should think about that, because it may not be your kids at all. It may all be about comparison. So how do you appreciate what God's given you in your bowl? How do you do that well? Here's two things, okay? First of all, I think you should go home today, this week, and you should get yourself, or if you've got a family, get your family together, and I think you need to make a list of all the things God's blessed you with that you take for granted. I mean, think about all the things you could make on this list. I mean, healthy kids, right? You've got a roof over your head. You've got food. You've got AC over the summer. You have friends that you can call when you're in need. You actually have a job that pays you. you actually have a spouse that loves God. This last week, I was in my neighborhood group, and I had one of my group members, his name was George. He said, "Ashley, I'm so blessed because I'm a mechanic, and I get to help people in their time of need." And I thought, that's it. That's appreciating what you have and leveraging it for God. Wives, could you imagine what you could do to your husbands if you just appreciated him for the talents he has and stopped comparing him? Dads, could you imagine if your kids never linked their performance on a sports field with your love for them? I mean, I've been with some of you dads on the sports field, and I want to shake you and say, don't tell your kids that their love is ever linked to their performance. How terrible. But we compare. Teens, come on. Could you imagine your allowance if you just told your parents, thanks for the clothes I get to wear when I go to bed and the bed that you gave me? I mean, come on. We can do this. But it's not just making that list. I think when you pray, either individually or as a family, you need to take that list and you need to post it somewhere visible, in your house, on your phone, somewhere. And you need to take that list, and when you pray, you start off your prayers thanking God for all that he's already given you. I don't know how we stumbled upon this as a family, but if you listen to one of my kids pray, normally they start off their prayers doing something like this. God, thank you for my dad. He's better than Superman, He-Man, Hulk, and Iron Man combined. My kids have never said that, okay? They don't say that. But they have said something like this. God, thank you for everything that we have. God, thanks for my mom, thanks for my dad. And we've just encouraged them to always thank God for all the things they have in their life. Why? Because we have to be reminded over and over again on this. So that's one. You've got to appreciate what God's already given you. Okay, here's two. And I think this one's harder, okay? It's harder for me. I'll admit that. The second thing is you have to celebrate what God has given others in their bowl. I'm telling you, this has the power of shattering the toxic thing of comparison in your life. And you need to look at others, sometimes that you've been comparing yourself to, that might have a little bit more than you, and you might need to tell them, hey, awesome, I love that, it's great, I celebrate what God's doing in your life. And you might say, well, how do I know who that is in my life? Well, here's the question, you ready? And this question makes you mad. But I tell you what, it cuts to the heart of who you might be comparing yourself to. Here's the question. Who would you secretly enjoy seeing fail? Honestly, who would you secretly enjoy if they just got knocked down a couple notches? And sometimes the answer to that question is the person that you've been using as your measuring stick to see if you're okay versus God. And you know what shatters that? When you go to them and you just celebrate what God's doing in their life, who would you secretly enjoy seeing fail? Don't you hate that question? Doesn't that just show us just the ugliness inside of us? But if we're gonna break this thing, we've gotta celebrate with others. Solomon said this in Proverbs chapter 14. He said, "A heart at peace gives life to the body, but envy rots the bones." This thing called envy, it rots us from the inside out. But then just two chapters later, Solomon gives us like the answer, an antidote. He says this, "Gracious words are like honeycomb, sweet to the soul and healing to the bones." And he's not just talking about gracious words that people talk to us. You know what he's saying? When you celebrate lavishly and just give gracious words to others that who even might have more than you have, that you might be comparing yourself to, it shatters comparison in your life. Now, you don't have to lie, but do they look good in that outfit? Tell them. If they don't, you have no problem, right? Are they knocking it out of the park at work? Tell them. Did they get that promotion? Even if you wanted it, tell them. Are their kids doing amazing things? Celebrate that. Tell the parents what a great job they're doing. You know, I've found in my life, this is a little example, okay? I watch my kids play sports, and I want the other kids on the team to do well, but I do not want them to do well as my kids. Okay, that's just being honest. But you know what I've had to find myself have to do? After the game, I walk up to the kids. I try to do this and just tell the kids that are just killing it, hey, awesome job. And I find their parents. Hey, you're doing a great job. Your kids are doing great. Why? Because I don't want to let this thing in me. I want to say no to it. And that's what you got to do when you celebrate with others. So what about you? What about you? What do you need to do to detox comparison? I'll tell you what, for some of you, you need to just appreciate what God's placed in your bowl, and you need to go home and you need to make that list, and you need to start praying openly about it all the time and just celebrating what God has given you. And I challenge you to do that. For others of you, you need to start celebrating what other people have in their life and just break this thing. And I'm not talking about celebrating over here. This is easy, right? Hey, good job, Johnny. No, I'm talking about here. And answering that question, who are you comparing yourself to? And that's how you can shatter it. Because if we don't do this, I mean, what's the alternative? What's the alternative? You are going to live your life with a never-ending, no-win game of comparison. And I'm telling you, it rots you. Some of you are going through depression right now because you've never dealt with this, and no pill is ever going to fix it. Some of you are destroying your families or your marriage because you're just in this trap of comparison. But I'm telling you, there is so much joy if you can wake up every single day and celebrate what God's given you in your bowl, and you lavishly celebrate what God's given others in their bowl. And when you do that, could you imagine what could happen in our city if we did that as a church? Just us here at CCV, if we got that, we could change our city. We could change our families. Could you imagine the financial margin we could have? Could you imagine what this could do to marriages? Could you imagine the kids, the pressure we take off our kids? Could you imagine the love we could just show people around us when we got over ourselves and our tendency to compare? CCV, let's move from this to this, and let's detox comparison. Let's pray. Father, you know how convicting this has been for me this week, and I know there's many people that are convicted today, and I pray, God, that you give us the courage to not just listen to this and go, but to do something about it, because we don't want to live our lives in the never-ending, no-win game of comparison. So help us appreciate what we have, God, and celebrate what you've given others. In Jesus' name, amen.